Magic.
And the world of illusion.
Magic TV.
And Craig Petty. Proudly present the Talk Magic Podcast. Every week we bring you awesome interviews with the greatest magicians that have ever lived. And now, here's your host, Craig Petty.
Hey guys, welcome back to Magic TV. My name's Craig, it's 9 o'clock, which means it's time for a Talk Magic. And I'm here today with an amazing magician, an amazing creator, a marketer, somebody I've got a lot of respect for, and somebody who has probably done more interviews for my side of the screen than anybody else I know in the last few years, the one and only Luke Dancy. Hey Luke, how's it going?
Hey, what's shaking, Craig? How we doing, buddy?
Mate, thank you so much for coming on the channel. I know how super busy you are. I think anyone on social media knows how super busy you are. Thanks for finding time to come on here. I really appreciate it.
Oh, dude, I always have time to talk magic. You should know that. Like, I love this stuff. Absolutely love magic. So I'm excited. It's going to be good.
And that's one thing that I've noticed through your whole career. It's obvious how much you love what you do. And you're such, you know, you may be the brand ambassador for Murphy's right now, but you're an ambassador for magic in general, not just Murphy's, but magic as a whole. I think that you're somebody who's one of the good guys, you know.
Thanks, man.
It's so true. And I want to talk about Murphy's at some point, but my agenda behind this interview is very simple. A lot of people that are newer into magic in the last few years, they know you as kind of almost the face of Murphy's magic. Mm, I want people to know that there's so much more that, that you've done in your very long, illustrious career. And I want to talk about that. And we're going to start right at the very beginning. So what's your origin story, Luke? When did you first get into magic? Was it like as a young child, or was it a little bit later on in life? When did the magic bug bite you?
Sure. I was eight. Yeah, I was 8 years old. Back when I lived in Charlotte, North Carolina, which is where I grew up. And it was the man, it was David Copperfield on TV. The man hooked me. You know, I got bit by the David Copperfield bug and I never stopped.
That's amazing. Yeah. And when you first got into magic, obviously through school, is it something that you carried on? Because obviously sometimes people get a magic set, but they just don't really take it very seriously. I'm guessing that wasn't the case with you. Were you like immersed in it from the second that you got that magic set?
I really was. Yeah. I mean, I jumped in, started going to the local magic shop they had in Charlotte, you know, every now and then. And then the club meetings were once a month there. They started having lectures there. Some Michael Amar and Tom Mullica and a lot of other amazing people. Daryl did a great lecture there. And I just became really plugged into the community that was there in Charlotte. I even worked at the magic shop for a little bit, you know, on my lunch breaks, I was reading magic books off the shelves because as a kid, you couldn't afford them, you know, and I'd save up all my money and buy the books and the DVD, well, not DVDs, they were VHS tapes back then, geez. And all the fun stuff back in the day, I saved up and I earned my keep back in the day. You know what I'm saying? Like I saved up and I earned it and then I bought what I needed. But along with that, as I got a little older, I also started traveling to magic conventions. You know, back then we didn't have social media. We didn't have this. So the only way to really learn was to go to these places where people, you know, met and did these conventions. So again, I saved up all my money and I would go to these conventions and I would just immerse myself there too. And that's where I met a lot of magicians, a lot of the dealers that are even friends with me today, because I've just seen them over the years. You know how it is. You know, you just see the same people all the time. Very small world that we all live in the magic world. And I became more and more in love with it in different ways as a performer, as a creator. And then it shifted into other things that I'm sure we'll talk about. But yeah, it all started in Charlotte, dove right in head first. And I have never lost the passion and the fire I've had for magic. I mean, once I got it, I've had it. And it's pretty cool there.
Sometimes see some magicians who maybe have been full-time pros for 30 or 40 years, and you can tell that they're just going through the motions and they're doing the same trick for the millionth time. And you've never lost that, you know, ever. I mean, actually, before we go even any further, have you got any advice on that, on keeping that passion alive? Because at the moment with COVID, the one thing I'm hearing is a lot of people going, I've lost the passion. I haven't picked up a pack of cards in 6 months, or I haven't practiced in a year. Sure. But you are always so passionate about what you do. Is there any advice you can give people to make sure that they keep that passion alive?
Yeah, I mean, a couple of things that have definitely worked for me. Number one is that always remember what made me interested in this stuff in the first place. You know, what made me so excited? And I've never forgotten that and the feeling that that gave me. So I kind of carry that with me. And then number two, something I always try to tell people is that the one really cool thing about magic is that there's so many different areas. So let's say card magic's starting to get a little old, starting to get a little, you know, whatever. Shift over to coin magic, you know, have a look at that, you know, start diving into that. If that's not really your jam, look at minimalism. You know, there's all these different areas that you can learn different things with magic, and they can all become part of your foundation to make you a better magician. So when I always hear that, the first thing I think of is, well, look at the different areas. If you're only skilled in one, or if you're only really passionate about one, maybe it's time to take a step back from that one and look at another one, because there's so many other exciting things in magic that can keep you excited. And there's also so much new blood. I mean, you see it, dude, like all these new people popping up in magic. That excites me too. Seeing the new, you know, people popping in and creating new stuff and doing killer performances. And I think it's a combination of those things that have kept my fire lit, you know, for over 30 years. And yeah, it's cool, 'cause I hear it a lot. Like I'm sure you do. People just feel burned out. They don't feel it anymore. And I'm kind of glad to say I've never had to do that, and hopefully I never will, but I know what happens.
And there's so much magic you can watch these days, you know, with YouTube and Facebook and social media, and even things like Penn and Teller Fooler. There's so many ways that you can go and watch something. Yeah, and that's one thing I love to do. I love to watch people that are amazing people just perform and you know, see some amazing magic. That always fires me up as well.
Yeah, dude, there's so much good stuff out there. I mean, we have it at our fingertips. You just got to go look for it. You just got to go find it. There's a whole world of great magic out there that a lot of the younger people and the new people may not even know exists. They just see the TikTok and the Instagram and the YouTube, and they don't even realize there's a whole another world beyond all that. Trust me.
Absolutely. So you go into magic when you're 8 years old. You've immersed yourself in it. You're traveling to conventions. Was there a point where Luke Dancy got a normal job, or did you just transition straight from school into doing what you love? Was there
I mean, there was some normal stuff in the middle. Back in the early days, you know, in high school, and you know, I worked at Target of all places, you know, unloading the trucks in the back, and then shifted into working at I don't even know what you call the places where they bring the money from different places. They get it sorted and they check it and then they send it to the bank. So like get it all packaged up, whatever. I did something like that back in my early 20s, I guess. But I was always performing on the weekends. I was always doing restaurant magic and strolling magic on the weekends, just not full time. And so I was always doing something else. And then started diving into playing some online poker, and I started getting pretty good at that. So I started making money. So I started pulling away from the jobs, performing and doing that. And then when I was performing is when I got the call to start doing some consulting stuff. And that's what took me to a whole nother place in my life that I never imagined, which is Las Vegas.
Yeah. Absolutely. Because you ended up working with Chris Angel, which was a big period of your life. And how did that come about? Because, you know, you've got Luke Dancy, you're going out, you're performing, you're doing restaurant magic. How did you get from being that guy to being a consultant? And how did you go from being a consultant to being a consultant with arguably one of the biggest, if not the biggest magicians in the world at the time? You know, Chris Angel was massive. Still is, but back then he was at his peak.
Oh yeah. There's definitely a key name. And you mentioned him when we were talking before we started this. Tim Trano was a huge help to me. And I always give thanks where it's, you know, meant to be said, and it's here. I mean, Tim Trano, when I was traveling these conventions, And this is stuff I tell my son, who's back there playing some games. When I would go to these conventions, I was always trying to network and make friends with people that were not just magicians, that are still lifelong friends. I have a lot of friends that are still, you know, that I met back in the day, but also just acquaintances that were at the conventions. And Tim Trano was a person, back in the day, he was one of the buyers for Murphy's. So he would go around and he would look at the products that might be good for them to carry to then, you know, offer to magic shops around the world. And Tim and I just kind of over the years became friends. And so basically, I had also started to release a couple products early on. David Regal produced my very first DVD, Magic for the Eyes. And then I did Misprint sort of kind of after that. It was kind of around the same time. And Tim and I became more and more friendly. And then basically an opportunity came up where he said that both David Blaine and Chris Angel were kind of looking for new blood, some new creative people. Would I have any interest in maybe being part of something like that? And I said yes, because growing up, I never wanted to be the Copperfield or the big magician on TV. I wanted to be the guy behind the guy, kind of like the Chris Kenner, you know, the guy behind the scenes. So I have no ego when it comes to that, because I don't want to be a performer. Like, I like being behind the scenes, even though I can perform, but it's not where my heart is, you know? So anyway, Tim, knowing these people in the industry, you know, Blaine's and the Angels and those guys, put that out there, and I said, yeah, I would love to. And he's like, well, he had a preference, which one? And I'm like, well, Chris Angel for me, because he was doing a series, which meant TV every single week, you know, a series, you know, not just one special that happens every 3 years. Like, that didn't interest me, because that's a one-time thing and then you're out. I wanted to be right in the middle of the action because I love magic. And so about a week or so later, I got a call, still living back in North Carolina, and it was Chris Angel himself. And he was like, yeah, I got your info from Tim Trano. Been hearing a lot of good things about you. Talk for a little bit. And he said, I'll tell you what, I'll call you back in a week. Here's what I want you to do in the meantime. You know what I do on TV. If you want to watch some stuff, here's some stuff to watch. But I really want to figure out how you think about magic and creating it. So over the next week, come up with just some ideas as examples of things you might pitch to me as a as stuff for the show. And so I spent the next week really going hardcore. And then we talked for an hour after that. The following week, I shared some ideas. We were on the same page. And he flew me to Vegas shortly after as kind of like a testing thing, because he had a group of us come out to top of the Luxor. Banachek was there, Sean Fields, Ben Seidman, Ayala, Joe Monti, Doug Malloy. Most of the guys were still part of the whole team the whole time I was there too. Spent a whole week getting creative, planning out the next season, which was season 4. I went home, and then I got the call that, yeah, we want you out 100%. Production starts up this date. And I lived in the Luxor Hotel and Casino for 6 months shooting season 4 of Mind Freak. And that was the start of me officially moving to Vegas, because at the end of season 4 in New Orleans, Chris took me out to dinner at the Harrah's Casino. And he asked me over a steak dinner if I'd like to move to Vegas and work for him full time. And I, without blinking, said yes. And that's what brought me officially here to Vegas, which is where I am now.
Wow. And you worked with Chris for about 6 years, and your role within his, it changed, didn't it? Because you originally came in as a consultant, and then you transitioned into marketing and sort of working on his brand. How did that come about? I mean, have you got a background in marketing, or was it just something that you were naturally drawn to? And, you know, where did that transition come from?
Yeah, well, it's funny though, because the marketing was kind of towards the end of it. Because I did the consulting, coming up the tricks, and then it shifted into me being a producer and director, because on set, they didn't, you know, you have these camera guys that don't know magic. They don't know where they need to be directed. And so that became my role, actually. I would sit behind the monitors. We called it Video Village, and I would call the shots, which was kind of fun. So I did that for like three or four seasons. And then as his relationship with Cirque du Soleil became a thing, because when I first started with him, he didn't have that original show. He didn't have the show with the Luxor. So once that happened and I was full time and I had my own office at his facilities and all that, is when I started to also help out with the marketing, the social media side of things with him and all that, and some other fun projects that we did in the middle. But Yeah, I've always had an interest in marketing. I think it's just the creative side of me, but I don't like traditional marketing. I like experiential marketing, which is where you give people an experience and not a direct sell. You know, it's not a hard sell. It's like you're selling an experience. And so Chris had some projects he was doing that we were working on that type of stuff with, which really, really excited me. And so, yeah, we started diving in with that. And once he stopped doing the TV show stuff and the projects we were working on wrapped up, he was shifting into touring and live shows. And that's not my expertise. I'm not I don't have a theater background. I don't know production, you know? And so that's when we kind of separated, but we're still really good friends today. And that relationship certainly is not a burnt bridge by any means, because I know that happens a lot in the industry, but yeah, that was definitely a huge part of my life. And I learned a lot and I'm very appreciative of it. And back to what I said earlier about my son, the Tim Trano stuff, I've always told him, just be a good, nice person, because you never know where that could lead you or what door that could open. Don't do it with the expectation that that's what you want, but you just don't know. And it costs you absolutely nothing just to be a nice person. And all I've seen in my whole life is just doors open, because I just try to be a good human being. And I've had some hiccups along the way that I've had to deal with, you know, physically and otherwise, but man, just be a damn good person and stuff will happen, because people want to be around good people, you know? So, yeah.
That's probably the best piece of advice I've ever heard on this entire channel ever. And it is that so many doors do open up. I'm a big networker. You know, how I've grown my business is through networking and building relationships with people, not just in my industry, but all over. And you never know when those people can help you. And the amount of phone calls I get from somebody going, hey, I've been passed your details by, you know, you're 100% correct. 100%. Now, when you were working with Chris, were you continuing to create magic for yourself as well and to release, or was that put on the back burner? Because obviously you mentioned it, you know, you bought out the David Regal DVD, which was great. You know, it was, I thought that was amazing, that project. And then I thought it was so good, because I don't want to give too much away, but the thing that you used in the project, I'd never seen that being used before, and it opened up a whole world of opportunities for me. But since then, I mean, you've bought so much stuff out. Compressed Deck was something that you brought out very early on, which is amazing. And I just think of all the different stuff that you've done. You know, we mentioned it slightly off camera, Skycap with Paul Harris. So were you still creating during your run with Chris, or were you?
And as a matter of fact, we released a few products together too. I have a few products that we released under his line, I guess, Chris Angel Presents. And the really cool thing was, it gave me a chance to pay it forward, right? It gave me a chance to say thank you to someone, because the very first person, like you mentioned, I mentioned earlier, David Regal, put out my very first DVD just because he wanted to. He funded the whole thing. He did it because he saw something in me. And so when I got to work with Chris and we started releasing products, my first thought was, I'm getting David Regal here and we're going to do a project together. And I'm going to show him a damn good Vegas time, because he did so much for me as a kid that now it's his turn to freaking enjoy himself. And so we did a project together called DST under the Chris Angel Presents line of stuff. And that was a proud moment for me, you know, having Chris fly him out and hang out with Chris and do all this together. And then we also released my trick Capture, the coin in the cell phone that uses no apps, uses no downloads. You borrow their phone, put the coin in. We did that and Chris did it on TV. A couple other things, but yes, to answer your question, I have and will always continue to create magic. Some of it wasn't specific for TV. It didn't work. So it's still here, you know, but I did create a lot of magic for TV. And during that time, as a lot of people don't know, you know, when you create for TV as a consultant, part of your contract, part of the agreement is that whatever's created belongs to them, you know? And so, because I spent almost 7 years with him, you know, a lot of the material was created specifically for him, but a lot of things, you know, obviously are for him. But yes, there are things that I am currently working on and have been working on. Hell, I have one trick I've been working on for over 10 years that, it's just not there yet, but maybe it never will be. And I should just put the damn thing out. I don't know.
Well, actually, let me ask you this question. And you see this probably more than anyone, especially now with your role with Murphy's. One of the things that magicians really want when they first come into magic is they want to be a creator. And I think it's because as an industry, we put people up on pedestals. We put the creators up on pedestals, don't we? You know, this is Greg Wilson. This is Jay Sankey. This is whoever it may be. And so a lot of people that are new into magic, they kind of go, I want to be that guy. I want to create my, I've created a man. Ryland does it. You know, he comes up to me and he goes, I've created a magic trick, Dad. And it's like, well, no, you haven't. This is something that somebody else has done for years ago. And it sucks anyway. But, nice try. Keep going. But have you got any advice for somebody who's wanting to be a creator, somebody who wants to put their own material out? How do you go around creating a trick?
Yeah, sure. And you're someone that will definitely, you know, a lot of things I'm going to say, so I'm just going to state the obvious. There's two big things. Number one, guys, don't expect to get rich off of this stuff. Is there money in there? Yeah. You can make some money, but you're not going to freaking retire on a private island like David Copperfield by putting out magic tricks. It ain't going to happen. And number two, it's not going to make you magic famous. It's not like, and there's two parts to that, but it's hard to come up with one solid trick. It's another thing to continue to do it over time, right? So if your intention is to do it, to create yourself a name and to be magic famous, the problem with that is when you put out one good trick and you want to keep that high, you want to keep that status, then you feel like you have to keep putting stuff out. And that's when the level goes way down. That's when the quality goes way down. So it's to me, it's an endless cycle. There is no magic famous because the shelf life, and Craig knows this, the shelf life of magic tricks now is shorter and shorter every year. You know, it used to be if a trick was really good, it would be popular and talked about for like months. Now it's weeks. It's pretty crazy now, the difference in the longevity of a trick, which is sad, but it's the reality that we kind of live in now, you know. So
true. I mean, you know my story. I moved away from the magic community for years, and one of the reasons I did is because I released some magic and it was very popular and everyone liked it, and there was a big amount of pressure on me to release more magic. It's like I had everybody coming up to me going, oh, when's your next trick coming out? And it's almost like you feel like you have to put something out, and you start rushing things that aren't ready, and then that ultimately affects your reputation, and it is a slippery slope.
Yeah, and unfortunately too, I've seen people that they get into that and they have a banger of a trick, they have a great trick, and it goes straight to their head, and the egos that come with that are pretty sad, because you might be someone people recognize at a magic convention, but when you walk out the doors of the hotel or the casino, like in Vegas where they have the conventions, nobody knows who the hell you are. So like inventing magic tricks is not going to make you famous either. You know, it might make you known for a little bit in the magic industry. But unless you're doing it and have a long-term marathon mentality where you're going to do it, that's why I love people like Richard Sanders. You know, Richard's a buddy of mine, but he only releases stuff like every couple years. So he keeps his name out there, but the quality doesn't suffer. He's out there, he's relevant, and he stays relevant. That's the way I think, you know, if that's what you want to be known in the magic world, then just maybe look at that as a way to do it. But number one thing, don't let this shit go to your head, because we're just creating magic tricks at the end of the day. So, and it's sad because, you know, Craig, you see it a lot. People change.
It's very true. And, you know, Richard Sanders is one of my favorite magicians of all time. And I was speaking to him just a few days ago. And you are right. Everything he brings out is a hit. And the reason he has the reputation he has is because he doesn't rush things out. You know, when Richard brings something out, it's going to be a well thought out thing that just is designed to hit and hit hard.
And not a bit of ego in his body either.
Oh no, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Okay, so we can talk more about that in a bit. So when you finished with Chris, you hadn't burned any bridges. Where you said yourself that you prefer the consulting side of things. Mm-hmm. as opposed to performing. You've just finished a 6-year run where you're exclusively working with Criss Angel. Did you kind of get yourself into a crossroads at that point, which is kind of, well, what am I going to do now? Which avenue am I going to go? Or did you kind of prepare for this? Did you kind of go, right, okay, this is going to be happening at some point. I have a strategy in mind as to what I'm going to do when it does.
Yeah, and I was already working with another company at the time too. So, I mean, I saw what was coming, and I already had other employment during that time too, virtual work. And so when you know something is over, you know, you just know. So I was preparing for the inevitable. But the thing is though, Craig, and I don't share this with many people because he didn't do this for the credit. He didn't do it for the attention, but when I had an illness, Criss was there for me. Literally, like when I had a surgery, he was waiting next to my hospital bed. He helped out financially with some things because what I had was pretty rare. I needed specialists, and I ended up having a surgery that I was only the sixth person in the world to ever have it. And so Criss allowed me to get access to these doctors and these people that I would have never had access to otherwise. So I'm a very loyal person. And if someone is going to, you know, look after me and do nice by me, by no means ever would I ever turn my back on them. And so by that happening, I knew things with Criss were starting to fizzle, but I was never going to leave. I was going to let him be the one to say that it's time for me to go. So I was prepared for it. I could feel it. I knew it. I knew the shift was there because other people around me that I worked with, they were also starting to be let go. So it was not, for me, it wasn't like an ill intention. There was no ill intention behind it for me to start looking at other work. I kind of knew it was coming, but I couldn't leave him because of what he had done for me. So I don't want to be long-winded about that, but I think it's important to note that he did a lot for me. And that's something a lot of people don't hear much about when it comes to Criss Angel. You know, they usually think Criss Angel equals bad stuff or negative stuff or drama or whatever, but I mean, that's Criss Angel. That's not Christopher Sarantakos, the man that's actually who that is. So, yeah.
Well, you know, everyone I've spoken to that knows Criss personally, they always talk about what a great guy he is.
Mm-hmm.
That speaks volumes. It really does.
Yeah. And one other thing I'll say real quick, because we were talking about the egos that come with creating magic. And you were asking for some advice on creating magic. Another quick topic that goes along with that is consulting. Everyone looks at it as a sexy, super sexy thing. And the one thing I wanted to say is, yes, Criss and I were great. But there's been other people that have worked with him and other people like him at this level that couldn't handle the intensity. They couldn't handle the speed that things had to happen at. And so their bridges were burned because their expectations were different. They thought consulting was fun. They thought it was something easy. They thought it was something that's just a cakewalk. If you manage your expectations and you know what you're getting into, that these guys like Copperfield and Angel and Dynamo, it takes a certain work ethic to be at that point, that level, and to keep at that level, that if you don't realize that going in, yeah, you will get pissed off at the situation. And I never let that happen because I knew that going in, that this is who it is and why he is who he is. So yeah, the relationship with he and I was just fantastic, and it always has been, and I hope it always will be. A lot of love for Criss. So yeah, I just wanted to throw that in because it's not something a lot of people know about when it comes to the band.
And it's really good to hear. It really is, because it's so good to hear from people that actually know the man himself.
Yeah.
Can actually say, this is Criss Angel. That's so cool. And I'll tell you, I went to see his show and I thought it was one of the best shows I've ever seen. Like I thought it was amazing.
Yeah, I mean, did you see it at the Luxor or did you see the new one at Planet Hollywood?
I saw it at the Luxor with David Penn, because I know David's done a lot of work with Criss over the last few years. But the first time I saw it was the first time David Penn saw it. We were at Magic Live together and we went to go and watch Criss Angel, and we were both blown away. Like, he'd seen a lot of magic, I'd seen a lot of magic. We went in with no expectations whatsoever, and we were just amazed, absolutely amazed.
Yeah, is that the show that Wayne Dobson stood up for the levitation?
No, that's not the one. No,
okay.
I think it was before that, to be perfectly honest.
Okay.
I'll never forget. I remember the whole show, but I never forget the moment where he did the thing where his motorbike appeared.
Oh, yeah.
And then you walk back out and the motorbike that was selected had disappeared from the display screen. And I'm like, that is... I remember that moment going, just ridiculously good. Really great show. So you've left, Chris. Let's talk about Social Mischief. Did Social Mischief, your marketing company, come sort of shortly after that? Because I know that you're a big marketing guy, and I know that you set up a marketing company that was very successful. Is that what you kind of transitioned in afterwards? Did you move kind of more towards that side of things than magic for a while, or?
Yeah, I just wanted to kind of explore other ways to use the magic knowledge in the experiential way, you know, with the marketing, with experiences. So I teamed up, I did a few campaigns with Budweiser, a company called Zero, which was kind of cool, and some other brands. And so I was having fun doing that. But it's funny because as I was doing that and I was enjoying the ride of like networking outside the magic world, but having that magic, you know, knowledge, I got roped back into magic. You know, the illusionist company at the time, they had a marketing opening that they were looking for some help in the marketing area. So as I'm doing all this other stuff, here they come. And I'm like, all right, you know, it was remote work, and I was not going to say no to an opportunity to work in the magic industry with something other than just magic, you know, how to market it and stuff. And so I dove in there for a little while. I was with them for a couple of years, more on the marketing side. And then that's what shifted me into Murphy's, which I know we'll end up talking about here too. So yeah, it's funny, even when I'm trying to tiptoe away a little bit, not ever turn my back on magic, it still reels me back in, dude. So yeah.
So many companies know what you can bring to the table. And without being funny, without stroking your ego, because I know you don't have one, you have achieved so much. You have so much knowledge. You've been in this industry your entire life, and you have so much knowledge, not just about marketing, but about creating a show, about creating in general, about marketing. So no wonder there's a lot of companies that are after you. It's because you bring a lot to the table, let's be honest, you know, especially within magic as well, because of your background.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, it's who I am. You know, some people, it's what they do. It's who I am, 100%. Yeah.
And the thing with Illusionist is they've always been a very successful company. You know, they've always been at the cutting edge with marketing. I've spoken on this channel about some of the stuff they've done recently, maybe being a bit.
Oh yeah.
But you know, back in the day, I mean, there's a reason that they were the guys that kind of capitalized on the whole David Blaine street magic thing, really, weren't they? They were the guys that were like, right, we're gonna take this and we're gonna run with it. And they did a great job.
And it was fun. I'll just say this quickly. It was fun getting to know Brad Christian. He had these summits every year where we would kind of meet up the whole team in a different city. And he was really good to us, super nice guy, but it was really fun to hear him talk about the early days of Illusionist and all that. So I'm not a fan of what he did recently, this video of him going out and shooting a laptop and all that crap. You know, that's new Brad or whatever. I don't know what that is, but Brad Christian's a good guy. And I enjoyed my time with him. But yeah, it was definitely another little stepping point to get me back into the magic world. It's kind of like that in between limbo zone, that like magic, marketing. Okay, let's take a look back in the magic. And that's where the Murphy's door opened up again. So yeah.
Well, you know, one thing that I've noticed about you, you've worked with so many people, you've worked with so many companies, and you've never burnt a bridge. You've always maintained that relationship with people. Nobody ever has a bad word to say about Luke Dancy. And
thanks.
I think there's something to say about that, because a lot of people, they you know, there are magicians, I'm not going to name names, you know who they are, they make a big song and dance about, hey, I'm never going to work with this company again, or whatever it is.
I mean, like, the reality is, like, and I said this earlier, we're a very, very small community, and we will see each other. If you're into this like you and I are, Craig, we're going to see each other for the rest of our lives at different points. Maybe you'll come back to Vegas and we'll see each other at Magic Live. I go to Blackpool every year now. Russ Stevens hires me every year to come back. I know I'll see you at Blackpool. It's like, or around that area doing something, or I'll be at the Magic Circle, something. And we will all see each other at some point. And that is always in the back of my mind, that it's not so much about working relationships. It's just about the community in general, that whatever I say and do will have a long lasting result, not just because everyone remembers what everyone says and does. And I would rather, you know, be as neutral as possible, because that's our family. That is the Magic community. That's, to me, it's like a family. We see each other and we're pick up right where we left off. You know, I haven't seen you in a year. Hey, Luke, you want a beer? Let's have a talk. Like, it's just the same thing, you know? And part of what I did with my marketing company, and during that period of time, I was going through a life change, and I started really doing motivational stuff, a podcast that was focused around mindfulness. And I started to learn how to meditate and study the Tao. And we're not getting religious here. For me, it's just a way of life with me is mindfulness, that I'm always conscious of other people and what I'm saying and how it might affect the other person and potentially what they think of me. Because what we say and do today can affect your legacy when you're long gone. And so I'm always trying to be very conscious and in the moment with the people that are around me. And I feel like a lot of people these days, because of social media and because of the pressure to be in that world, so many people now are hyper-focused on themselves and building up their followers, which is such a terrible word, such a negative word. You know, followers is a terrible, terrible word if you think about it, that people get lost in that, and it's all about themselves. So I just try to make it a point to where that's not me. And I'll play that game. If you know me, if you see me out there, I'm very low key in the social space outside of the stuff with Murphy's, obviously. But yeah, I definitely try to be as neutral as possible, because I'm going to see them, then I want to have a drink with them. And I've had beef with one person, and even that I made right, because why bother? Why bother? You know? So, yeah.
That's really good. That's, yeah, totally. 100%. Before we move on to what you did next in your career, let me actually ask you one question about that, because you have done a lot of motivational speaking. You have done a lot of marketing. You have talked to people about mindset and having a positive mindset. A lot of magicians are struggling right now. We talked about this earlier on. Because of the global pandemic, there's a lot of magicians that are kind of down in the dumps. They're worried about when they're going to perform again. As somebody who is very mindful about mindfulness,
yeah,
have you got any quick advice that you can give to people that are struggling right now? Because you see it all the time. I've seen in the UK some amazing magicians that have been full-time their entire life, and they've just walked away from the industry. They've got themselves another job, and they've openly said, I'm never coming back again. And it's such a shame, and I'm seeing it more and more.
I think the one key word is perspective. You know, with anything in life, it's how you look at it, how you look at a situation, how you look at a blow, you know, a negative thing that hits you. You know, it's all in how you take it. I think there's a very wise word, a little passage from Buddha. It says, this too shall pass. I mean, no situation will last forever. And what we're dealing with right now won't last forever. This will be a memory one day. We just have to remember that. And sometimes in the moment, it's hard to get lost in that, because it's just surrounding us and we can't go anywhere and we're trapped in our own head, not only just trapped in our own house, but our own heads. We overthink, you know? And so, I feel like just at the end of the day, just remember that the situation we're dealing with now isn't the situation you'll be dealing with later. And when later is, no one can really predict that. But this too shall pass. So if you do need to take a break, if you do need to go out and get another gig to pay the bills in the meantime, that doesn't mean you have to quit magic. It'll always be there for you. The skill set is there, you know, that you have. But yeah, just remember, this too shall pass.
Fantastic advice. And actually, I'll ask you one other question. I would be remiss not to ask you if you've got any marketing advice as somebody who has spent a lot of their career marketing. One thing, magicians, I mean, I know we could spend hours on an interview like this talking about how to get gigs.
Yeah.
Who has, you know, made a career for themselves, marketing themselves and working on marketing with other companies. Is there one quick tip that you could give people? Let's just assume that everything gets back to normal at some point, and somebody wants to go out and really kind of get more work and be a professional magician. Is there one marketing tip that you can give somebody, one golden nugget as to how they can do that?
I don't know if this is so much in the UK as it is in the States, but there's a thing that a lot of people don't know about, which is they have these like networking mixers. When I was doing the marketing stuff, I had an office downtown Las Vegas, like the Fremont Street area, which is in the middle of all the entrepreneur boom. Tony Hsieh, God rest his soul, was the owner of Zappos. And Tony Hsieh, he rebuilt the Fremont East side of town. And as part of that, he put in co-working spaces and other things, other businesses, and he built up the community. And the one thing I always did was I would go to these networking events after hours. And what they are, basically, if you don't know, guys, is in most big cities, they'll have networking events where people from different professions will come together and they'll just hang out. And there'll be food and beverages and stuff served. And they're there as well to, you know, try to get booked by the people that are there too. You know, they're all there for a reason, to try to network and get work. Magicians don't realize you can go to those too, and you can sell yourself as a magician. You might not be paid to be there as a magician, but you can go to these events and start handing out your cards, because that's what everyone's doing. They're all handing out their business cards. And I was obviously doing that type of stuff too, but I wasn't doing it to sell myself as a magician. I was doing like instant card. Is that what you call it? The one where it prints on your phone and you pull the, I was doing that with my business cards, but I was doing it with my social mischief card. And you know, there's Tony Hsieh, you know, the owner of Zappos, walking around like, hey, Luke, show him this thing with your card. So other people are asking me to give people my business card because they want to see the trick with the phone. So that's a little tip, a little secret that a lot of people don't know, that you can go to those when things open and you can sell yourself to all sorts of people. And there's also event planners that go to those that are looking for entertainers, you know, in entertainment. That's just one little tip. You know, hopefully when things open up, is to maybe check those out if they're in your area.
So glad you said that, because I built my business through going to events like that, going to networking events. I built up my business by going there because other magicians didn't go there, and I was getting on so many people's radar. And there's a company, a worldwide company called BNI, which stands for Business Networking International. They started in America, but they're over in the UK, and they run thousands of events like this. And their whole thing is giver's gain, which is, if I give you business, you're going to want to give me business. And that's I have phone calls to this day, people going, hey, I met you at this BNI meeting like 8 years ago.
There you go.
Exactly. And you know, BNI at the moment, on with that tip that you said, BNI are now doing virtual networking in every area. So if you want to do what Luke said, you don't have to wait. If you live in Vegas like Luke, just type in BNI networking Vegas, there'll be a chapter, and you can do it online and network. It's such a great advice.
I had no idea about that. I mean, it makes sense. You know, we're all doing, well, not everyone, we're doing shows online. Why can't we network online? You know, that's cool. Thanks for sharing that. I didn't even know that myself. Okay.
Cool. Yeah, there you go. So yeah, it's a great advice, and you can still do it right now. Cool. So you left Illusionist. Did you immediately go to Murphy's? Was that like the next jumping off point, or was the period of time where you kind of, did you, I suppose one of the questions is, have you ever rested? I mean, it just seems that, you know, I'm tired just listening to what you've done, man. I mean, a lot of the stuff that you're doing is full on, like the consultancy work and working with Angel. And I don't know, did you ever just have a period of time where you go, right, I'm just going to put my feet up and watch Cobra Kai for a month. You know, I'm just not going to do anything.
I mean, I watched Cobra Kai in a day. So I binged the hell out of that. I'm wired to go. When I'm passionate about something, I'm like all in on it. And of course I get times where I need to take a break and chill, but I'm always looking, and creativity is what fuels me too. You know, I love to do different creative projects and be around creative people. You know, so it's actually funny the way the Murphy's thing happened. I'm not going to name names. People that are watching could piece this together if they've been around magic for a while, but there was a person that used to work with Murphy's that was secretly actually trying to take my job at Illusionist, And so what happened was there was basically a swap. So the person that that was at Murphy's went to E, and then I went to Murphy's shortly after. It wasn't like planned that Murphy's was going to pull me, but it kind of happened by happenstance. And I think it's kind of funny that the company that picked me up, Murphy's, has had me now for about 5 years at the time of this. And the person that ended up replacing me didn't last 6 months at the other company. So, yeah.
Yeah. Nothing else needs to be said about that. That's perfect.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you went into Murphy's as a brand. Your official title is brand ambassador or social media ambassador or something, is that right?
Yeah, I think on their end, I think I'm like the social strategist. I think that's like the official term, but I kind of look at what I do as being kind of a brand ambassador, because when you look at what I do, it pretty much is that, because we're not retail. So yes, we have a marketing department, but it's got to be different because we don't have a direct sales, you know, to people that are out there. They have to go to the magic shop. So yeah, I think it's like social strategists officially. So yeah.
And did that even exist as a role before you came in? And the reason I ask this is because for me, at any rate, and I've been obviously not studying, but I've been aware of Murphy's for years. 10 years ago, Tim showed me around their warehouse. Over the last few years, ever since you've been there, that's when, like, I remember back in the day, nobody knew what Murphy's was.
Yeah, it's confusing.
It was like, you know, this dealer's got this and they've got this and they've got this, but nobody knew about Murphy's. You only knew about Murphy's if you were a dealer. But now, everybody knows about Murphy's. Like, everybody in magic knows about Murphy's, and that's happened in the last few years. So yeah. I'm guessing you had a big role to play with that.
Yeah, I think I kind of took what was being done and I ran with it in a new direction, because before I came, there were some people that would do weekly like review shows, basically. But when I came in, at the time of this, it's 2021. I've been doing live streaming for like 11 years. Like, I have a long history of doing live streaming. And so no one in the industry was doing that before I came to Murphy's. So what I did was when I first came in, I sold them on the fact that if the products that people are reviewing that are on our team, on the Murphy's team, how it's kind of hard for people to take those reviews seriously and not biased, because that's their job. And if they're telling you how good something is, it's just so that you'll go and buy it. Like, it didn't add up to me. So the reason I mentioned that is because when I came in, I shifted us into live. I was doing Facebook Lives almost 6 years ago now for Murphy's, doing interviews, chatting with magicians, live streaming, doing stuff like that. And I started shifting it more towards a community vibe than just a content vibe. You know, people put out content and it's kind of hard for people just to connect with content if it's just that. But if you open up the door and you start doing live, you get in real time, you get the interaction, you get all that. And that's what I think really kind of pushed us out there, was we were connecting with people, and me, I love magic. I'm putting that passion out there. I genuinely do want to help people. And so there was that connection. And I have all these other fun toys and tech that I've been able to implement before it became as easy as it is now. So people were seeing it more because it was like this new thing. And so I think that did help the brand evolve and grow. And it's been interesting to watch actual retailers, because we're not a retailer. Murphy's is a wholesaler, distributor of magic, as Craig mentioned. And it's been funny for me to watch retailers start to copy our stuff. And we're not even doing what they're doing. So I don't know. It's been fun to watch that evolve. But yeah, I think that when I came in and I started shifting it that way, things definitely changed for sure. And as people have said too, they can just feel the passion that I have for magic. And the other people that were there, they could tell that it was all about promoting themselves. You know, I'm never on a live stream or anything telling people, hey, be sure to follow me and check me out and go here and do this. Like, that's not me. Yeah. And I think that's why it works, you know?
I'd agree with that. Absolutely, completely. And you highlight so many amazing creators now with the live streams that you're doing. Mm. You know, it's become a must watch show for so many people, because you know you're going to have somebody on that channel, you're going to be speaking to them. It's normally surrounding a new product or a new release or something. There's a lot of buzz around it. Everybody's looking for that new big thing. Everybody's watching what you do, which is great, which is fantastic.
Yeah, it's cool. I mean, for me too, getting away from doing review shows, review things, you know, on my side, like for you to do it, you're not connected to anybody, makes total sense. For me, it feels a little weird. But part of what I do too is I let the people know that when I am talking about products, it's genuinely stuff that I like. And I don't want to put people down the wrong path, because obviously, I don't say this boastfully, but I don't want my reputation to be hung out there for people to buy a bunch of shit. And then they go, well, damn, Luke's just a used car salesman that wants me to buy stuff. Like, I don't want people to lose trust in me because I'm just trying to tell them about some cool stuff, you know? So I try to be honest and real too, about the products. That obviously that's gotta be a big part of my job, but the good news is there is good stuff out there. You just got to look for it and find it. And thankfully I have access to all of it. So.
Absolutely. I mean, Murphys are producing so much material right now. I know you're not involved in the actual production of the product. It's more about the you know, the social strategist side of things, but they're releasing so much magic at the moment. How, as a consumer that's buying magic, how do we pay? You obviously can't buy everything. There's so much stuff that's coming out in the moment. It's impossible to buy everything. Even me, I'm producing like four products. I'm reviewing four products a week at the moment, and I'm not even touching half the stuff that's come out because I just haven't got time. So, what advice would you give somebody that's wanting to buy a new trick? And you know, you look at a dealer's website and you look at it the next day, and there's like another 20 products on there. Is there a way to pick out a good one? Like, because as you say, you've got access to all of the products. You know that not everything's a hit. There's going to be stuff that's good, and there's going to be stuff not so good. Is there a way to separate the wheat from the chaff?
I think the only way to do that initially is the new thing now seems to be pre-sales. Products are on pre-sale for like a week or so. This has been going on for a while. But I think if you're really trying to watch the wallet, trying to really make educated decisions on what you buy, keep an eye on the forums, and not just one forum. Don't just look at the Green Machine. Don't just look at the Magic Cafe. Look around. There's other forums out there. And if you're not sure about something, wait until after it's actually released, which is, again, usually about a week after it first drops as a pre-sale, and hear what people really have to say, not just taking guesses on what a product is based on a trailer, because sometimes they're right, a lot of times they're not. And don't let other people's opinions on something make your decision because someone else doesn't like something, or even if they do like it, maybe it's not right for you. So wait for the reviews if you can, ask people, because that is the one disconnect that I see out there with magic shops now, is it's a website. You go down and there's a buy now button, and there's no help, there's no connection. So that's again why I try to do the live stuff, because there I can actually answer people's questions, and that's why I bring the creators on, so they can answer the questions that I find. I can pop them on the screen and people can have their questions answered. And then on the comments section, I try to go in and answer stuff too. I mean, I guess without promoting me here, if you guys do see stuff that Murphy's carries, pop on one of our weekly live streams. If you see me in there, put it in the chat. If I see your questions, I go through all the questions. I see everything. I can help you make decisions on things that you see. If you have specific questions, I can't give you the secrets, obviously. But the product specific thing I do is every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern time. And it's on the Murphy's Facebook and YouTube channel. And again, that's not me trying to promote what I'm doing. It's just, if people do want real help, I can give it to you. I just can't give it to you here because I can't see you right now.
And you really should. You really should. People should jump on your live stream because it is exceptional. And you are so helpful as well, which is so good. Any advice for creative? Like, I've seen products that are phenomenal, like amazing products, and nobody's bought them. like, or it's just not been very successful. And then I've seen products that are just terrible and they've blown up. Yeah. Like, there doesn't seem any rhyme to reason to it. Have you got any advice for creators in terms of how to try and make their product a hit? You know, because it's such a shame that there's products out there that are amazing and for some reason have not caught on fire. Is that, you know, somebody who's an expert in branding and marketing and also sees a lot of new products, is there a secret sauce as to how to get that thing on people's radars?
What's the word that I keep thinking of is tat, right? Isn't that what you say? Then you get tat,
yeah,
a bunch of tat,
yeah.
That you says most of the Blackpool dealer room, right? Just a bunch of tat, right? Just, yeah, I mean, I guess there's a couple of things that really help. Paul Harris seemed to nail it with the toy factor. So you give people something that's cool to play with. Like the method will make you smile. You look at this and you go, man, that's cool. I want to have that. Are you always going to use it? Maybe not. Might end up throwing it in the drawer, but you bought it because you thought it was cool and it worked. And I think SkyCap is a great example of Toy Factor. Is it's this custom made gimmick that you cannot make yourself. When you look at it, you play with it, you go, wow, that's actually really, whoa, okay, that's kind of fun. People, I'm sure, will use it, but at the same time, it's like, they may, because it's a situational trick, obviously. They buy it because it's a cool Toy Factor and it's priced around $40, so it's not super, super high. But I think number one is the Toy Factor. I keep using that word or those words, Toy Factor. Something people can get and play with and go, yeah, and it's a quick buy. Number two is don't just sell people a piece of string and some magnets. Like, come on, I'm over that. And thankfully, Murphy's has been a little more aware of that. For a while, there were some things going on that I brought to their attention that I thought was, I thought Murphy's was getting the shaft. I'm like, this is what's going on. Then this happens. And I'm like, we should not be doing this. And it's interesting because that whole thing has changed now. I don't want to go into details because it's not my place. But
I have noticed that, by the way, I have. That's something I've noticed
too. I mean, even to the point of a company changing their name, like I kind of let them in on some details on, and it's funny because now all that shifted. So yeah, don't sell people a piece of crap. Like that's another thing. Like, and the other thing too is if you're going to sell people a trick, make sure it's something you actually would do yourself as a creator. Don't just sell people a pipe dream. Don't sell something that you would not do yourself, because a trick is something people buy and actually want to use it. So if you sell them something that's going to break when they're sitting there for the first time opening the package and they're playing with it, you know, I'm doing the motion of a flap right now, you know, like this elastic thread crap, you know, that just you play with it and you go, oh shit, it's broken. Most magicians out there don't want to fix stuff. They don't want to take the time. They don't want to thread it. They don't want to do it. Like they're lazy. Most magicians are lazy when it comes to that. And so try to give them something solid. Obviously now with social media, visual is good. If you can create a good visual piece of magic, if it can work in the real world and online, that's even better. Like a good example of that is Nicholas Lawrence's Revolve. You know, it's incredibly visual, but you can also do it in the real world. And the gimmick comes pre-made. So it's another little tip, guys, is, you know, gimmicks that come pre-made, people like better than stuff that you have to make yourself. So don't be lazy. Don't expect people to make it. Give them something that they can actually use. Be fair about the price. And at the end of the day, make a fair trailer. Don't just sit in your house with your cell phone and make a little cheap trailer. Spend the extra time or the money if you got to hire someone to help you. And do a good trailer, but don't be deceiving. I had a chat last week with the other brothers about Summit, and I asked them openly. I'm like, you're getting a lot of flack. Would you have changed the trailer? Would you have done the trailer differently? And they said yes, because the trailer was a bit ambiguous. It was a bit, I wouldn't say misleading. It was just fuzzy, I think is the best way to put it.
Yeah.
And be as honest as you can in your trailers as well, because if you cheat it, you might sell some initial units. But then when the word gets out, you're not only tarnishing that trick, but your name. And the next time you go to put something out, people will remember that as well. So I know I'm going long on that, but there's a lot more I could say. Well, we'll keep it there.
That's really good advice. One thing that I've talked about on the channel as well is I'm seeing a trend at the moment. I don't know if you've noticed this, of tutorials that come with products, and they are the bare minimum. It's kind of like, this is gimmick. This is how to make it. And it's like a 15-minute thing with a music track over the top. And when I first got into magic, I was learning from people like Michael Amar and Daryl and the greats of Bill Malone, the greats of magic. And then these days, new people are coming into magic. They're buying a trick because it looks cool. And they're getting a 10-minute download. They're not learning about audience management or why the trick works or how to deal with the angles that are an issue with this trick. And it'd be a better product. You know, we talked about D. Christopher earlier on. One thing that he's trying to do with his new company, you know, I looked at the trailer for the Shadow Wallet. It's a 2-hour download. Now, you could argue that 2 hours for a wallet is a bit too much. You could argue that, but at least the information's there. Right? He's left no stone unturned. That's my bugbear at the moment, seeing a half-assed download for this trick that really should have more time spent on it.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that. Yeah, because it's true. I definitely have seen that too. And even to the point where it's the trailer might be shot great, but the explanation is just lazy with a phone or something. And Minnie Lindenfeld is another name that comes to mind. His instructionals are always jam-packed with information. So yeah, that's very good advice from Craig too. Make sure you guys don't cheap out on the instructions too, because it makes people very unhappy. You don't want that.
Well, what about, you know, obviously these days there's so many different places that you can go and get your trick released. You can go to a dealer, you can go, most dealers will produce the trick for you, but obviously Murphy's now have their own production side of things, black label and so on and so forth. Let's say I've got a good product. I believe in it. I've road tested it. I've done it 1,000 times. I've ironed all the kinks out. I think it's a good product. How I want to release it through Merv. I'm going to release it through the biggest company in the world. I don't want to go through this little dealer. I want to go to the guys that, and let's be honest, there's very few companies that you're going to release a product through that have as much clout when it comes to Murphy's. You know, those guys are amazing. How do I get on Murphy's radar? How do I release a trick through them? Is there a, because I know a lot of people ask me this on the channel. I'm like, I don't work for Murphy's. I've never released
a trick.
How do we get on Murphy's radar?
So there is a submit button on the website. It's at the very bottom. I think it says submit magic or submit a trick. It's one of the two, but it's at the very bottom. It's a page that pops up. And it has all the details they're looking for, your name, info. There is a little thing at the bottom asking for a video or a link to an unlisted YouTube video, you know, that you can watch. It doesn't need to be professionally shot. Just showing that not only do you have the trick, but how it works. Because Craig, you probably know where I'm going with this. Sometimes people will submit a trick and they're expecting the company to help you figure out how to do it or produce it. And it's like, it doesn't work that way. You got to have not just the idea, but how the thing works too. You don't just get half of that. Besides that, when things do open up again, obviously conventions will happen again. We always have reps at most of the major conventions. Titanus from Greece is usually at those. Lloyd Barnes is now on the team in the UK, so I'm sure he would be popping around a lot of the UK scene. Just talk to these guys in person, show them the tricks. If you're online, yeah, you're always welcome to drop me a note, guys, if you've got something you're working on. If it's something that I do think is original, which is always number one, and something that the team would like, kind of knowing the parameters, then I can kind of shoot you straight to the people that need to see the stuff myself too. I'm happy to be out there and do that. I always try to do that at conventions too. It's not my job with the company. But if someone does see a lot of magic, if I see something that's good, I always try to connect the dots to people that need to see the good stuff, you know? So, and it's tough, you know? And the other thing I will say quickly is when you submit something, if you're not hearing back, it's not because we're being jerks. It's because we get a lot of submissions. While I don't work on that team, we do get a lot of them. And the team is currently working on projects now too. So sometimes stuff just takes time. Responses, and if you don't hear back, that may mean as well that the you know, we're going to pass on it. I don't know the whole process, how they deal with back and forth with people, but try a couple of those things and you'll be on your way. And good luck, have fun, you know, create fun stuff, and we would definitely love to check it out for sure. And Craig's right, you know, if you go to a dealer, they end up getting the trick through Murphy's anyway. Most of the time they ended up giving it to us because they know that Murphy's has the reach, because we, you know, we supply all the magic shops out around the world. So like, yeah, we have that built in distribution already. So, and if you're watching and you do that, we may be talking, maybe interviewing you out there about your new product. So that's always fun too.
Absolutely. I'm going to put you on the spot. Who, what is your, you've seen so much magic in your 6 years at Murphy's. What's your favorite trick that you've seen?
Oh my God. Holy crap, man. Whew.
One that stands out the most. I know that you only have good stuff on your, I know that a lot of the stuff that you promote is great, but it's the one thing that stands out.
Wow. I know one thing that's on my radar that, my buddy Eric, known as Snake, his company is called Toomey Magic. And the reason I really like his stuff is the reason it stands out, Twister Flavor is the one I'm kind of going towards here, because it's offbeat magic. It's with gum, it's visual, or it's great in person or online, but the gimmicks are so well made. And that's where I'm going with this. It's not cheaply made. It's made very well. It made the last, and all of their products are like that. I just have a real affection for their line of stuff just because it's always really well made, for sure. And Nicholas Lawrence's stuff kicks ass too. I mean, Nick's stuff, Revolve, has definitely got to be in there somewhere. You know, you reminded me, like, I should totally do one of these like top 10 videos, but do it for like, that's what I should do. It's like a video like that to highlight, because I've never thought of that. I've seen so much stuff that I'm sure I've forgotten more than I can remember. So yeah, those are just a couple ones pop off.
They're the guys that Toomey Magic, they're the ones that did that note that turned into a that was so big. I remember seeing that and I'm like, that is so visual. I think so many TikTok magicians do that. It looks so good.
I mean, the GIF was another one. Angelo Carbone's thing, you know, the box with the predictions in it, that was a banger too. Like, super creative. Angelo's a brilliant creator. That's definitely another hot one for sure since I've been there. God, man, I'm sure there's a lot of really kick-ass things that I'm missing here. So thanks for making me think, because
you could do a show like that. That'd be so cool. I've gone on record saying probably the best thing that I've seen in the last 6 years, just from a commercial point of view, is any card by Richard Sanders.
That is a damn good trick. That is a damn good trick. Yeah.
So clever. So
yeah. Clever. Yeah. God, man. Yeah. Cause especially since my brain is wired now that every week I have new stuff to talk about and look at, I wish I could remember what I saw 6 years ago. Oh my God. Yeah. I will drop you a note personally and let you know, cause I'm sure when I go upstairs and I have some sake in a little bit, I am pretty darn sure that I'm gonna have a light bulb moment. I'm gonna go, holy shit, why didn't I think of that?
Yeah. I'll put it on the screen. If Luke gets back to me, I'll put it on the screen. This is the one. This is the one right here. Awesome stuff. Awesome stuff. Before we wrap this whole interview up, let me ask you two more questions. Now, number one, you say you're still creating, which is fantastic. And you said you're working on something that you've been working on for 10 years. What have you got, anything that you've got planned coming out? Have you got any releases? Obviously, we just had Misprint 2.0 come out through Penguin, but obviously you weren't really involved in the production of that, but obviously it's your trick. Have you got anything that's coming out at some point?
I do. I don't know the timeline on stuff, especially right now with the way production is. You know, when you're working with companies overseas, I don't know what the restrictions are with people and their stuff. I've got two things right now that I've pitched to the team. One of them is in the prototype mode, or the, you know, whatever you call that. It's pretty rad. And then there's another one I pitched as well that kind of in the same world. They're both real world workable things that you would have on you and be proud to have on you. So can't say too much, but yes, I do have things in the works right now. So hopefully you'll see them sooner than later. That's the plan.
Amazing. And would you ever release a book, a kind of a magnus opus?
Jesus.
Because, you know, think about it. You've done so much. You've seen so much. A book with some of your best tricks in it that maybe people can't get anymore, along with stories of, because you must have some amazing stories, man, over the years. and advice based on all, I, you know what? I can't think of many people who would more deserving of a book than you. Like,
I'm incredibly humbled by that. And it's something I've never thought about, never considered, because to me, while I'm 41 years old, I still feel like a kid, you know, I still feel like a kid because I'm doing what I love and I'm always going to be a student of magic. And so for me to ever consider doing, because, you know, growing up when we read books, man, it was like, these are the guys, like, you know, a book was a big deal back in the day because that was like the only way to produce stuff until VHS stuff became, but even that was expensive as hell for people to get made. So that was only the good stuff, you know, because it was that was an investment. A company put money in to produce these VHS tapes. So, I mean, damn, that's something that I have never even thought about, but it would be nice to leave stuff behind because let's be honest, man, like once, you know, we keep losing these greats, you know, I can't believe it's already been a year since we lost Roy Walton. You know, we lost Simon Aronson. We lose all these people, man, David Roth recently, you know, and the only thing we have to remember by them, not, you know, other than videos we can find online, is their work, and it'll live on through their work. So maybe one day. Yeah, I mean, that would be fun. And
genuinely, if I was a book publisher, if I was a Richard Kaufman or an Andy Gladwin or a Josh Jay, I would be biting your hand off if you said, okay, I'm gonna publish a book, because, man, honestly, the advice that you can give and the knowledge that you have and the stories you can share, and also a lot of your back catalog is no longer available, probably won't be available again.
Yeah.
But stuff, yeah. You know, talk about the projects you've done with Regal, just as an example. You can't get those anymore, but they're just as valid to this generation of magicians that don't even know the stuff that you put out 10, 15 years ago, you know, that it was back then, you know, a book with all of this stuff in it. I think it'd be amazing.
Wow. You blew me away, dude. Yeah, that would really humble me. Yeah. Wow. Maybe one day, we'll see.
Okay, well, one last question. And this is a question that I always ask everybody. And this is a question I definitely want to ask you.
Oh boy.
What's next? Like you said, right, let's be completely honest here. If you decided to walk away from magic today, your legacy within this community is set. People will be talking about Luke Dante for a very, very long time. The amount that you've achieved, the stuff that you've done. We've spent this entire interview talking about it. I'm not going to rehash it again now, but everything that you've done and created and achieved and the different companies that you've helped grow, your legacy is set. But you're 41 years old, and I'm pretty sure that you aren't even close to finishing yet. So do you have stuff that you want to achieve on your magical bucket list? Of course, you've had the career that most people would dream of. So what is there anything left that you want to achieve? Are you happy with Murphy's? Are you not planning on going anywhere? What are you wanting to do something? Like, is there anything else that you want to achieve? Have you got any plans moving forward?
Nah, really, really no plans. I mean, I've worked with people over the last few years on pitch meetings for TV shows and other projects and live shows and stuff like that. I would just love to be involved again in that world. You know, I really miss the action that comes with being involved in that type of stuff. I think it's really fun and exciting, and it pushes the limits, you know, when you're under these time crunches and, you know, you got to get creative, you got to get creative fast. That's stuff that I miss and would love to be around more, I guess. But, you know, in the meantime, I'm very content with what I do. I really love what I do. It's been fun. You know, being online and connecting with more people. And I would definitely love one day, I guess if there is one thing I would like to do, is to, because I live in Las Vegas, I would love to have like my own conventions. That's kind of something I would love to do, is to, you know, I have so many friends around the world that it would be so fun to team up and do some fun stuff. And as a matter of fact, actually, part of that's already coming true. It's not my convention, but the Society of American Magicians has teamed up with me for their next convention, hoping it happens, in 2022 here in Vegas. They want me to produce the close-up show for them. So I'm part of some online communities, you know, in the social space. So these people are coming over and they're going to be doing a close-up show and lectures, and all the close-up stuff will be something I'm putting together. They give me a budget, and I'm doing that as part of the Society of American Magicians in January of 2022, the Golden Nugget. But I've already had plans before that, even, that I want to have my own like close-up convention here in Vegas, because there used to be things like that, smaller conventions like the Desert Magic Seminars, and like there used to be some other ones, you know, but those are the only one we have now regularly is the Magic Live, which is like 2,000 plus people. It's a lot. That's not a close-up convention. But I know so many magicians in town, you know, the Alan Ackermans and Kayla Morelli's here, Nicholas Lawrence is here. I have a lot of other great friends that live here. So like, it'd be so easy for me to put on a convention with my friends. But I'll tell you this without giving away anything. I've already got to the point now where I know that when I do it, it will be a convention, but the way that you're going to learn magic, you've never learned magic like this before. So, yeah.
Wow. Talk about a tease. That's exciting. That's really, really exciting. Do you have a time frame for this sort of thing? Are you
buying? See, that's the thing, man. People keep asking me that, and for good reason, because I'm excited. Like and then people are getting excited too, because I've shared this with other people. I want to plan it, but it's kind of hard during a pandemic to make plans on when I can book a place where people can get together, or if people from other countries can even come here, you know, and be part of it. So the part that makes me happy though is, in the meantime, I have the Society of American Magicians. It's my little mini conventions, the way I'm looking at it. They're paying me and they're paying the whole thing. So like, I'm kind of putting together my own little small convention. So that'll kind of get me through. So once hopefully we get more through this year and into early next year, I can make plans to have something out here. And I promise that it will be something people will be talking about. And I'm very excited to put my energy there too. So yeah, I guess that's something that I want to do next. Definitely connecting people in person in new ways, you know, with magic. So, yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
It has been an incredible, it's been incredible speaking to you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, it was fun. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm glad that you got the chance to be on the other side of the camera for once, because, you know, you interviewed so many people. Where you've mentioned several times that people can reach out to you. What's the best way to reach out to you and also catch the live streams, just in case people have been living under a rock and have never seen one of the live streams? I'm going to put it down at the bottom of the screen right now. Where can people see you? Where can they, how can they contact you, and where can they catch your live streams?
Yeah, man. So every Tuesday night, I go live at 8 p.m. Eastern time over on the Murphy's Facebook page and their YouTube channel. So that's a fun thing. People can talk magic, ask questions, and I get previews of the magic tricks coming out that aren't even out yet. So you get that. And we do live giveaways every week. So that's fun. If you want to win some free magic, I do that every week. Other than that, I'm a little active on Instagram, Dancy Magic, at Dancy Magic, over there, and just on Facebook in general, you know, just Luke Dancy. And I, you know, check my messages over there and stuff like that. So yeah, I'm not super, super active online, but if you need me, I'm out there. You can find me. And if you love magic, then you should talk to me, because I love this stuff too. So yeah.
Well, you know what? On behalf of the magic community, thanks for everything that you do and continue to do. I've always been a massive advocate of you and your brand, and I will continue to do so. And I think the Murphys are a better place because you're involved with them. So thank you for everything that you do. Appreciate it, man.
Thank you, Craig, man. That's nice of you to say. Appreciate it, man. Thank you.
And you know that I've built a reputation for myself telling the truth to a fault, unfortunately. So
this is true.
Take it, you know, it's true. I think you're amazing. Yeah, there you go, guys. Reach out to Luke. Make sure you check his shout on a Tuesday because they are always amazing. And yeah, don't forget to sub the channel. Leave a comment down below. I'm sure Luke will see the comments when this goes live. And yeah, I'll see you again soon. Thanks very much for watching. I'll see you again. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the Talk Magic Podcast.
Magic.
Be sure to like and subscribe to the Magic TV YouTube channel,
Magic TV,
which includes 14 unique videos every week. Whatever type of magic you're interested in, we've got you covered. Just search YouTube for Craig Petty's Magic TV, or click on the link in the description from this podcast below. Be sure to join us next Friday at 5 p.m. right here for another Talk Magic Podcast.